Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Remsen, and with me, as always, he's the New York Islanders UBS Arena's chicken sandwich to my Scotiabank Arena's chicken sandwich. It's TJ Rust, everybody.
Now, I assume the Scotiabank chicken sandwich is normal.
Now, I haven't had a Scotiabank chicken sandwich or even know whether or not they serve a chicken sandwich, but I assume it's better than the disgusting piece of garbage that the New York Islanders were.
Well, I mean, you showed me the picture, which is, I mean, it should be put on a watch list or something. It should have been blurred out.
Like most of the, people in that arena.
But like, it's you eat with your eyes, and like, that was not appetizing.
No, that was disgusting. Sean McKenzie ate it on the broadcast, and I have to say, I really respect that move. Like, in the name of good TV, eating something that looks like it came out of a Dr. Seuss book is
right.
Like, real commitment.
It's a good thing those bathrooms are new.
Well, yeah, it sure is. Now, speaking of which, the Toronto Maple Leafs opened. Or no, they didn't open it. They were the second team.
They were the second team because Calgary was the first. I saw that.
To play in that building. And before we get into deeper discussion on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I just want to point out that John Tavares has won more games in the UBS Arena than the New York Islanders.
Wow, yeah, but give it 2 weeks.
Well, but I think it's very important that he won there before they did.
That's fair.
He is better than their entire franchise. it's a fact.
It's a fact. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, he definitely outplayed them.
Yep.
Because I saw the highlights.
He is the only reason that they exist, as far as I'm concerned. Now,
that's a good point.
Speaking of the great John Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not doing too bad this year. We've tried to record this on a couple occasions and unfortunately got pushed back far enough that the Leafs have now played a quarter of the season.
Listen, we've had some panic moments.
Yes.
Which I think were not well captured.
No, unfortunately.
But they were there.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. We attempted to record both the highs and lows, and unfortunately weren't able to do so.
But let me put it this way. I mean, I'm ready for the parade.
I'm just ready for them to win a first-round playoff series.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely looking like they'll make it.
Yeah. I would say
like that's so. I mean, if they don't now, then what are we doing? But if I mean, at this point, we're just kind of waiting for the first round.
Yeah, that's about right. Now, should we go through basically the season as a whole? The Leafs started horribly.
Terrible.
I think they went 2-5, and then now they've won 10 of 12.
Yes.
11 of 13.
Yes, something like that.
I'm not sure. They've won a lot of games recently.
They've definitely stacked them up. I mean,
yeah.
I think the last two losses that I remember were Pittsburgh on the Saturday night and then L.A.
Yes.
a couple weeks ago.
Yes. I could go find the entire run here, but, is it really necessary? Basically, the Leafs are sitting in their usual spot of second place in the Atlantic Division. Unusually, they're behind the other Florida team, the Panthers, who have been absolutely unbelievable, and ahead of the Lightning, who they beat in a head-to-head game this season. Detroit is currently in fourth, although let's be honest, it's only because they have 5 games in hand on the Bruins, who will be the other playoff team out of the Atlantic. So,
yeah.
I think when this season started, we had a super crazy situation where Buffalo was in first place in this division and the Leafs were doing terrible and Tampa was doing terrible. And now, basically, it looks like what's going to happen is what we all figured would happen. Florida, Toronto, Tampa Bay, and Boston will be the 4 teams that make the playoffs. And we'll find out later which spot those 4 teams are in. But that's going to be...
This always happens, man. The first, 3 weeks like 4 weeks of the season, first month and a bit, like they're always just bananas, and people end up winning a couple of games and they end up on top like Buffalo. Like it doesn't last.
It does not last.
It can't last with a team like that.
It can't possibly last. This is
actually and vice versa, kind of like the Leafs. I mean, we definitely panicked.
A little too early.
I panicked.
We weren't the only ones.
But it was also just so frustrating to see because of what happened with Montreal.
Yes.
Like, you know that you saw that happening and you're like, oh, like, you're just bad now.
Yes. They won two of their first, is that eight games? Seven games.
Yeah.
Two of their first seven games. And then after coming out of that, they had a overtime win over the Blackhawks and a 5-4 win over Detroit, both of which were pretty bad, to be honest.
They were close games.
But then after that, I mean, they've been honestly pretty fantastic since.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're currently 13-6, if we don't count, you know, the overtime stuff and whatever. 13 wins, 6 losses. And that's about what they should be, really. It's about what they have been most years.
Yeah, and I was looking at it today a little bit. It's crazy that with the bad start that they had, that Campbell is first in the league in save percentage.
Yeah, well, the goaltending this season is completely crazy on its own.
It's so bipolar, man.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore all the goalies on here who have barely played games. So I'm not going to count Jake Oettinger. I'm not going to count Dan Vladar. But
who the hell's that?
The guy who plays for Calgary. I believe he's their backup. He used to be on.
Oh, yes.
But the top goalies in the league this season are Jack Campbell, Jacob Markstrom, who's found his way up there. And then we have James Reimer, Frederick Anderson, Sergei Bobrovsky, Jonathan Quick, and Carter Hart. And if you would have given me that list before the season started, I would have told you you were insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. That's the Leafs' current goaltender, pretty much everyone who's ever played for them, and then two guys we thought were washed in Jonathan Quick and Sergei Bobrovsky, and then Carter Hart, who might have been the worst starter in the entire NHL last year and is now once again looking like he might make Team Canada for the Olympics.
Yeah, but like he was kind of he was too young to write off. It was a little too much. But I mean, yeah, you're right. Like Quick, no.
It's shocking.
I thought he was done. Although I did watch the LA game.
And he was great.
And he was very good.
He was great against the Leafs. We haven't played Sergei Bobrovsky in the absolutely outstanding Florida Panthers yet, but
that's a game I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
When's that coming up? I got to look that up.
On the schedule?
Yeah, when's that game?
I have it right in front of me, so let me have a look here. And
tell me about it.
Man, they're in our division. Why do we not play them?
Yeah, I was going to say, it shouldn't be too far off, right?
It looks like it's not until March.
What?
Yeah. I mean, unless I'm missing something here.
March? Oh, dude. December 19th, the first Kraken game.
That's exciting. That's very exciting.
Yeah,
their barn.
Yeah, and that's going to be sick. That's NHL 22, and it's so fun to watch the Seattle like team play. Like, it's cool to watch the jerseys. It's cool to, like, it's fun to have a new team. They play them twice.
And speaking of goaltending, and maybe we'll touch more on the Seattle Kraken when we talk about the NHL overall. But speaking of goaltending, that's a team who we thought would have good goaltending with Drew Bowen and Chris Streeter, and it's horrible. They have the worst goaltending in the entire NHL.
Dude, you're right. They play the Panthers three times this season, and both, like, they're all three of them are at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's very weird for a team that's in our division.
One of them is in March, and two of them are in April.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening there. Although, I guess it might be a good thing for us, because maybe by the time we play them, they'll have cooled off.
Yeah, and we might have clinched already.
Yeah, let's hope so. So, should we talk about the Leafs players? Let's go through the team, give some thoughts, some feelings.
Well, okay. I definitely have some feelings about Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, I also have some Nick Ritchie feelings.
He does not like, okay.
Let's start with the new guys.
Well, okay. So, can I start with what I saw a little bit on their loss against Pittsburgh?
Please.
So the first line of Matthews and Marner.
Yes.
Is just like, Matthews is so good. He is unbelievably good, man. The things this guy can do, the way he skates, the way he handles the puck is insane.
Yeah.
And Marner is a great addition to that. He's so skilled and so creative. And I think you said it, I don't know if this podcast ever made it to air, but the reason that they don't have a better winger on their team, on their line, is because they make too much money.
Yep.
And it just, it's so depressing to watch anybody else that like can't play with those two be on that line.
It is hard, especially after watching Zach Hyman for as many years as we did.
Who could hold his own and play well, but like Nick Ritchie, it does not have it for that line. Michael Bunting does not have it for that line, man. Like, yeah. The talent gap is too big.
It's massive.
It's way too big.
I will say I've liked Michael Bunting a lot more than Nick Ritchie in general, and also.
But that's saying it's you like it because what it's compared to is complete shit.
Yeah.
He's not good. I would at no point be like Michael Bunting is good.
No, he's okay.
Better than Ritchie.
He's okay. He's not bad.
I don't know.
Top six winger, but he is a good bottom six winger.
Right, but he's on the top. He's on the first line.
Sometimes he's on the fourth line, and when he's on the fourth line, the Leafs are worse because Nick Ritchie's on the first line.
Exactly.
He's the best that we have, not actually good. But he is still the best that we have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Michael Bunting for 2 years at $1.5 million is a very good deal. I think 2 years of Nick Ritchie at $2.5 million it's horrible. It's so bad.
It's going to bite us. It's already biting us.
He still has no goals after 20 games.
Dude, he has two assists.
It doesn't seem likely that he's going to get one anytime soon.
Dude, he's not even close. Like, Wayne Simmonds has been close.
Oh, Wayne Simmonds Wayne Simmonds is going to have a month where he scores like 5 goals. Like, yeah, it's coming. That's
like
happening.
He's been Wayne very Simmons, good. Wayne Simmonds is close. Nick Ritchie is not close.
No, he's not. David Kampf, who is another new guy who we need to talk about, but who I think we suggested before the season might be a good defensive third line center and has been, you know, as about as good of that as we could possibly hope, but who we said had no offense. He has no offense, but he has 3 more goals than Nick Ritchie does, which really summarizes what we're dealing with here.
It tells you exactly what this guy is doing.
He really just, it's not working at all. Alex Kerfoot is back on left wing on the second line, and he's been doing okay. He's been fine.
He's been doing all right. I don't hate it.
I don't mind. I don't mind Kerfoot. I don't mind when they do Kerfoot, Tavares, Nylander as a second line. I actually like even more when they do Kerfoot, Tavares, Marner. I think Marner and Tavares have really played well together this year when they've done that. But yeah, I mean, look, it's no matter what way you flip around our best 4 players, they're going to do well and they're not going to have a lot of help.
No. And it shows that like when they struggled, the team was dog shit.
Yeah, pretty much. And when they're going, the team's going. And I think we should talk about the guy who's been the best new addition on the Toronto Maple Leafs though. And that's Andre Kasha.
Yeah. He's been fantastic. You're right. He's been 7 points, 5 goals.
Good. Yeah. He's driving that third line. And that third line has played pretty difficult competition. They've been playing up against good players on the other teams. and they're not going to score goals, except for Kasha sometimes, but they've been getting positive results. They've been shutting down the opposition. They've been driving the puck the right way, and they are a big part of why the Leafs are winning these games. And I think Kyle Dubas's plan when he put that together was for something like that to happen. And I think it has worked out now. Mm-hmm. You know, he definitely didn't hit everything he did this summer, but I think the Kampf, Kasha, Engvall trio, which I think will probably end up being the Kampf, Kasha, Mikheyev trio at some point, and will probably be pretty much the exact same thing, I think it was a good idea.
Yeah, when he comes back, I mean.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's kind of interesting about that I just found out recently is that David Kampf and Andre Kasha were like childhood friends. Did you know this?
Yeah, I think that was on the broadcast on Saturday, wasn't it?
Did they put it on the broadcast finally?
I think it was on the broadcast.
Ah, see, this is what happens when we don't get our podcast up in time, is the Hockey Night in Canada steals my material. But David Kampf and Andre Kasha are friends. They grew up playing hockey together. And it is kind of interesting that Dubas decided to go out and pick up both of them and then put them on the same line.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like a smart idea if they know each other so well.
Yeah, and it's been working. And Engvall is, he's Pierre Engvall. He's not going to do much, but he's not going to fuck up.
No. And he had a couple plays on the Saturday night game where I go, you could be so good.
Yeah.
But you're not making complete like fuck ups where you're costing us the game, but you're not able to pull off the moves that you're trying to make.
No, he's not. He will soon be replaced by an even more frustrating player though, in Ilya Mikheyev, who basically looks like a 6'2" Connor McDavid, but with absolutely no hockey skills whatsoever.
Yeah, like that's a no.
A much more frustrating player, but who will probably continue having very good defensive results on this line. So that's a big part of why the Leafs are winning games, is that they're able to throw out this third line against good opposition and shut them down and play them to a tie. And then, you get to go to Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander and ask them to win the game. And more often than not, one of those guys is going to win you a hockey game.
Yeah.
So should we talk about the defense?
Give me the defense.
All right. Well, Morgan Rielly, fresh off his brand new giant contract extension, which we talked about on a podcast that will never air, has opened the season with 13 points in 20 games. He looks exactly like Morgan Rielly. He's still very fast. He's still very good in the offensive zone. He's still a little shaky defensively, especially if you pair him with, Travis Dermott or someone who isn't TJ Brody, but he still gives you a lot of value.
I mean, that goal against that goal against the Rangers.
Oh, that was drag. So nice. The toe drag. That was gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And just a ridiculous goal. So we have 8 more years of Morgan Rielly, or 7 more years, 8 more years, 8 more years.
I thought it was 8. Yeah.
Yeah. 8 more years of Morgan Rielly. That will take him to his age 35 season. He's 27 right now.
Oh, and, no, it's old. He's old.
Yeah, but like, it's only not now, but $7.5 million.
No, it's a bargain. Dude, yeah. Like I said, I've been playing a lot of NHL 22. When you get to the offseason, he wants $10 million.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, especially given what was given out this summer to guys like Seth Jones, guys like Zach Werenski. Guys like, I can't remember his name, Darnell Nurse.
We have him for 9 more years, if you include this one.
Yeah, exactly. And, relative to the crazy numbers that got signed this offseason, it's a pretty good deal. So I'm pretty happy with Morgan Rielly right now, I got to tell you.
No, it's completely worth it at this point.
Yeah. Now, on a personal level, I mean, I really like Morgan Rielly, too, so... That it's just nice.
What, you
that
know
he's
him?
Be around. Huh?
Do you know him?
No, I don't know him. He's one of my favorite players, and I don't have to watch him play for like Montreal.
There is the risk of that, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, this is nice. I don't have to see Morgan Riley, Ottawa Senator. That's not something I have to deal with. Or Morgan Riley, Boston Bruin. That's not in my future.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. No one is. TJ Brody has been TJ Brody. I mean, he will never get points, but he's absolutely lights out defensively. So fantastic. And the Leafs have been winning a lot of these games on the strength of their defense, which is kind of a new-ish thing for this team. And he's a massive part of that, for sure.
I mean, their penalty kill is great.
Yeah. Actually, he might be the biggest part of that because, I mean, he's fantastic. He covers up basically everything. Everything that Morgan Riley gives up defensively when he's making pinches at the offensive zone and, you know, scoring toe-drag goals. Everything that he gives up defensively gets covered up by TJ Brody. They're perfect.
Yeah.
They're perfect for each other. A group who used to be perfect for each other and has kind of had a rough start to this season is Jake Muzzin and Justin Hall.
Yes. They are struggling. Hall does not look good.
Hall does not look good at all. Muzzin, I mean, he looks a lot worse than usual, too. It's just he's usually so much better than Justin Hall that when they both have a rough start to the season, he still kind of ends up looking better.
Yeah.
But he has struggled as well. I think with Muzzin, we just have to hope that it's not age or permanent injury. We have to hope that it's maybe an injury he can shake off, maybe just not a great start to the season, something that he can get back to being Jake Muzzin from. Because, I mean, our shutdown pair for the last few years when this team has been a good team has been Jake Muzzin and blank. It was Nikita Zaitsev. It's now Justin Hall. But it's basically Jake Muzzin carrying a guy to good results on second pairing role. And if he can't do that anymore, I think we might be in trouble.
Yeah, no, it's dropping fast.
And Justin Hall, I mean, he's given no indication that he's going to take a step forward and be a guy who doesn't need to be carried in those minutes. I mean, he found himself out of the lineup for a pretty significant stretch there.
Yeah, I mean, they put him back in, but I mean, I thought Liljegren and Sandin looked good together, so.
Yeah, so that's the good part about this. I should touch on Travis Dermott before we get to our beautiful Swedish boys. But Travis Dermott has been wildly inconsistent this year. He's been in and out of the lineup. He played some top pair minutes with Morgan Riley when Justin Hall was out, and he was horrible to the point where when they played Detroit in that 5-4 game, Sheldon Keefe just stapled him to the bench for pretty much the whole third period and then took him out of the lineup. He has had some bad games. He's also had some games like against Nashville where he was absolutely fantastic and drew two penalties and was cutting off the entire defensive zone with his skating and looked great. I don't know what to make of Travis Dermott. I think that if he's going to be our seventh defenseman, then we probably have to trade him.
Yeah.
I think that him and Hall can't both be on this team, which is something that I said that last year too, and they didn't end up trading him, but now we have an extra guy. I'd like another guy in the mix here to where it feels like we really have to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, but you do have to move one of them.
You really do.
Especially for the cap space. Like just,
yeah. If we want to get a left wing at like the deadline or something so that we don't have to play Nick Ritchie high up in the lineup.
Exactly.
This is where you find
out. And you're not moving Nick Ritchie. You can't.
I mean, if you can, please move Nick Ritchie.
Although, I'm going to say right now, Ramson, not an option.
No, it's definitely not an option. I will say for Nick Ritchie, though, that he has looked much better when he's been played on either the third or fourth line than he has when
that's with a lot of these guys. You said the same thing about Bunting.
It is.
We need a top six left winger.
Yep, we do. And
it's not Michael Bunting. It's not Nick Ritchie. It's not Pierre Engvall.
It's also not Ilya Mikheyev.
I'm just listing off the left wings.
It's also not Ilya Mikheyev. The closest thing we have is a guy who isn't a left wing, which is Alexander Kerfoot.
Yes.
He's our best left wing.
Like, I mean, I don't know. You got to find a left wing that can play with these guys.
The Leafs did try putting Kasha at right wing with Matthews and then making Nylander play the left, which went okay, I guess. But it's just, you don't really want to be moving William Nylander from his spot to put a guy in the top six, right?
Just to try and make it work. Like,
yeah,
they thrive in those spots. So why not try to help them instead of forcing them to be uncomfortable?
All right, so before we get to our Swedish twins, let's talk about our old man fourth line twins, because we haven't mentioned them yet. Jason Spezza and Wayne Simmonds have both looked great.
I mean, Simmonds is trying to get a goal.
Simmonds looks really trying. So much better than he did last year. It's actually unbelievable.
Well, but last year at least got a few points.
Right, but this year he's not getting points due to being unlucky. Last year, he got more points, and I think you could argue he was probably lucky to get the points that he got.
No, I agree, but...
Wayne Simmonds had a stretch last year where he looked really, really good, and then he broke his wrist. Remember? He had like a month where he was great, and then he broke his wrist, and then he came back, and he sucked again. Now he just looks really good. The only difference is the pucks aren't going in, and I think they might start to. Jason Spezza looks like Jason Spezza.
Eventually they will.
Yeah. And where would we be without him? Because he's just been great.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Should we talk about our beautiful Swedish twins?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, they're beautiful in Swedish and not named William Nylander, so.
And actually, as much as I want to call them twins because they play together and they're both Swedish and
all. And they look nothing alike.
They look nothing alike. What's that? Actually, Rasmus Sandin looks much more like William Nylander than he does like Timothy Liljegren.
That'd be like calling you and me twins. Like, yeah. No one's buying that.
Timothy Liljegren looks more like Austin Matthews than he does like Rasmus Sandin.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, they really look nothing alike. But
you know he's shaving the stash, right?
Yeah, he is shaving the stash.
That's going to be weird.
I'm excited. But they have been magic together on that bottom pair. Now, they're playing easy minutes. They are. They're being protected by the coaching staff. But goddamn, are they great. They're unbelievable.
Sandin, like, I mean, Liljegren will get the, I think Sandin looks better out of the two.
No doubt.
But, I mean.
He is better. I'll just say he is better.
He is a better player, but it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think
because it makes it like that was the hope for the future, that those two would be able to play together and be a pair, and seems like it's going to work.
I think that there's hope for Rasmus Sandin in the future as a top four guy. I'm not sure that there is for Timothy Liljegren, but even if there isn't, I mean, he's proven without a doubt that he's an NHLer.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that anymore. Like, he is absolutely an NHL player and will be in the NHL going forward from now on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for him to play anywhere else, except unless we run into some salary cap issues or something and whatever. But like, in terms of playing your best six guys, he's one of our best six guys.
Yeah, and not to look too far ahead, but the night, like, because I think when he was first drafted, and I think it was like a year along, people were like, oh, you're gonna, like, once he develops, you're gonna pay this kid a lot of money.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like that.
It doesn't look like that.
And, you know, given the cap situation that we are in, might be a good thing.
It really could be a good thing. And, the other thing is, I'm hopeful with Rasmus Sandin that by the time he ends up being that kind of guy, we still might not have to pay him an awful lot, because Morgan Riley's still going to take most of the power play minutes, and he's going to get most of those free power play points. And, you know, if we can avoid having Rasmus Sandin run up a bunch of points while still having him be a super useful player, we might not have to pay him the sun and the moon either. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's unbelievable. He's one of the smartest players I've ever seen play hockey.
Wow.
He knows where everybody is. He has that thing, and maybe it's a Swedish blonde guy thing, But he has that thing that you and I always talk about Elias Pettersson having, where he like seems, I guess not this year because he's been awful, but like where he seems like he knows where everyone is on the ice without having to look.
Yeah.
Like he third like senses.
In NHL 22, they call that the third eye X factor.
Do they call it the third eye X factor?
They call Rasmus it the third Sandin. Eye X factor.
Rasmus Sandin has the third eye X factor.
Well, not in the game, but he should.
Well, I mean, if they were to give him one, that would be the one. Because he's unbelievable. Should we do goaltending?
Well, I mean, what's there to say? We've got two Vezina candidates in that.
Is the second one Joseph Woll?
Yes. Duh, it's not Michael Hutchinson, you idiot. Freaking idiot.
I was like, two? Where are we getting two?
No, we got two.
Joseph Woll of two NHL games of experience. Okay, we'll do Jack Campbell last because, I mean, he's played almost all of the games.
Yeah.
Michael Hutchinson played a little bit. And he's been bad. Peter Mrazek played a very little bit and was kind of bad.
And kind of.
Michael
wasn't good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. But he only played like, I don't even, he only had 57 shots against. Like, it's not like he played a lot of hockey here.
I know. I'm just not impressed with what I saw.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he is when he comes back from his.
I kind of hope he doesn't come back.
You should hope he comes back.
Why? We've got a great backup in Joseph Woll.
Joseph Woll had a shutout the other night against the New York Islanders. I watched that game, and I will tell you right now, I'm very happy for him. It's a hell of a thing to come out in your second NHL game on the road in Long Island and get a shutout. He got 20 shots. It might have been 19. And they were very easy. The Islanders got absolutely nothing going in that game whatsoever.
You're trying to say I could have gotten the shutout?
And he also let in 4 goals against the Buffalo Sabres. So I'm just saying bump the brakes a little bit on Joseph Woll. Because I think there's a better chance that he's Michael Hutchinson than that he's Peter Mrazek.
So both bad?
Well, yeah, probably. I think Peter Mrazek will probably come back and look like normal Peter Mrazek, which has actually been pretty good over the years.
Well, it's funny at the start of the season when people were like, oh, it's probably going to be like one of those things where he's probably going to be the starter.
Yeah.
And now that just seems ridiculous.
It does seem ridiculous. So should we talk about why it seems ridiculous?
Well, look at the numbers.
Yeah. Jack Campbell might win the Vezina.
Dude, he might. Look, it's one of those things where it is the Leafs, so yep. Probably not.
Probably not.
Because he could totally blow a tire in the next few weeks, or the Leafs could shit the bed and let in 8 goals against, who are they playing next?
Them LA. Being the Leafs, we have to assume that something horrible is going to happen.
Yes, yes. Like, I get it. It's way too early. Well, let me put it this way. If they play the Panthers and he's still this high up in the stats, then maybe we could talk Vezina, but right now, no chance.
But he does have a .944 save percentage.
No, I'm not saying it's...
And 3 shutouts. And in most advanced goaltending stats, like goals saved above replacement and stuff like that, he is second in the NHL to the league-leading Sergei Bobrovsky. And slightly ahead of the third best goaltender in the NHL, who is Frederik Andersen.
And
could have both been playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, if he didn't sign Peter Mrazek and Nick Ritchie, he had the money to do it.
Could have easily done it. It's not even like he's making very, very slightly more than Peter Mrazek. They actually couldn't. I don't even think they could have signed Nick Ritchie too. I mean, I would prefer if they didn't. Like, if we're going back and changing things, I'd much rather they didn't sign Nick Ritchie.
Hindsight, I wouldn't.
But they could have just, you know, basically not got Mrazek and got Frederik Andersen.
Yep.
Which, you know, at the time, it seemed like a clean break was probably for the best for everybody.
We now, said it. I mean, we definitely said it.
Now it's very clearly, you know, not the case.
Listen, we make mistakes, but Kyle Dubas shouldn't.
Yeah, I expect more from him than the kind of nonsense that we do on this podcast.
He's smarter. He's smarter than us.
He is supposed to be. Now, I mean, look, like if Jack Campbell can keep this up, then the Leafs have a chance to have a really good regular season. And if he keeps us up in the playoffs, they have a chance to have a really good six games before they inevitably blow it in the seventh one. So I'm really happy with Jack Campbell.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, he was the goalie.
Yeah.
For the blow up, like, for the the breakdown, like, just the catastrophe that was the first round of the playoffs last year. So, like,
yep.
I'm excited, but he was still the same guy. So, I don't know.
I do find it kind of interesting that it seems like Leaf fans aren't really blaming Jack Campbell at all for losing those games,
which
I think is a good thing because he wouldn't deserve that. He was very good. But, I mean, it didn't really stop Leaf fans from blaming Freddie Anderson for losing to the Columbus Blue Jackets when they got shut out in 2 out of 5 games, or blaming Freddie Anderson when they lost to the Boston Bruins. And I think he had like a 940 save percentage.
It is weird. He seems to have a little bit of immunity.
He does. I maybe it's his personality. I'm not sure. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It might be because, like, it's that new hope.
That might be it, too. Yeah.
It's that Star Wars Episode 4.
That's right.
It's just a new hope, and there might be some changes coming, and we hope that this kid's the savior. But, I mean, I'm not... you know, biting my tongue too hard on that one.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, and I mean, like, this is way too early about it to worry about it, and I don't want to ruin like a good thing, but he's gonna have to get paid after this season, and he's like 30, and he has like, I mean, this will be his first season as a starter in the NHL,
and you could get
like,
some money.
Do you really want to lock yourself in to like 4 years of $5 million for a 31-year-old who's had one good season? Like, I don't know. It's concerning. But, you know, for now, he's under contract, so let's just enjoy the ride and hope he wins the Vezina.
Yeah. That is the hope. That's the best case scenario.
That is. So overall, before we take a break and move on to, you know, talking about the general NHL and all that, where are you at with these guys?
Well, I think I've voiced my concerns with not having a top left winger.
That's a big
one. And, who I think is holding the team back a little bit. But having said that, like you said at the start, what is it? 13 and 11? I mean,
13 and six.
No. I mean, 13 in their last 11 games.
It's 11 of 13.
11 of 13.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hard to argue with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not exactly a numbers nerd, but, I mean, that speaks for itself.
Yeah. Well, I am a numbers nerd.
Nerd.
And I'll say that the Leafs are probably slightly better than they were before, but basically the exact same team that they have been all of
yeah.
There's not a lot different. The main thing is that the Leafs are shooting the puck poorly. They're not scoring as many goals on their chances as they normally will. That will probably come back around. They'll probably start scoring more goals. The problem is Jack Campbell probably isn't going to continue playing like Dominic Hasek for the entire season either. And when you put those things together, I think it probably evens out to the Leafs being about this good. And, you know, probably finishing in one of the top three spots in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And probably playing Boston, Tampa, or Florida in the first round because our division is horseshit. And we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens. I mean, it's tough to be too hopeful. Like, I mean, every little mistake that they make, we're gonna jump on.
Yeah,
we're gonna freak out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I just see that happening. I mean, it's the way we operate, and I mean, I think as Leafs fans, that's just the way we're gonna be forever. until they prove us wrong and win. And even after that, I think it's going to happen.
Probably.
But I mean, look, I'm excited to see where this goes. I hope they don't fuck it up.
I will say, when this team has lost this year, they have really lost. Not that it matters, because a loss is a loss.
I know, but it kind of does matter, right?
But there was the two games against Carolina and Pittsburgh where they lost, well, a combined 11-2. There's the game they lost 5-1 to LA. And there's the Saturday game against Pittsburgh, which I didn't watch, but where, I mean, basically, everything I've heard, they created literally zero offense for the entire season.
It was terrible. There were so many times where we were trying to get excited about an opportunity, but like, was not close. Tristan Jarry was good. Tristan Jarry was very good. I'll give him that. But like, if I was a Pittsburgh fan, I wasn't too scared of the Leafs coming back.
They didn't make it hard enough on him, eh?
No.
I also want to say though that so they have also done some non-Leafy things, like going into Long Island with that excited crowd in a brand new arena with a rookie goaltender is exactly the kind of game that this team loses. And the reason that I know this is exactly the kind of game this team loses is because I watched them throw rookie Garrett Sparks in there against them for John Tavares' return game and get stopped like 6-1. And then I'm pretty sure I watched them lose with Michael Hutchinson in that in the same building. Yeah. And Joseph Woll was in there. And like I said, they had his back. They didn't really let the Islanders get anything going the whole game. They've also had some really good defensive performances in, you know, shutouts against Vegas, shutout against Philly, shutout against Nashville. And it is kind of funny. As good as Jack Campbell has been, the shutouts he's had have been very easy.
Yes.
The games where he's really been good are games like the New York Rangers game or the Calgary Flames game. Games where it was really close, the Tampa Bay Lightning game being probably his best one, right? Games where it was close and he had to be great, and he was. Mm-hmm. But the shutouts he's had, I mean, they're just the Leafs completely swallowing the other team and not giving them a single chance. And that's not something I think we're too used to seeing from these guys.
No.
I don't know. There's a couple things that are different that I like. There's a couple things that are different that I hate, mostly Nick Ritchie. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think Nick Ritchie's going to continue unless I don't see him turning it around. That's my problem.
I don't either. But if Nick Ritchie turns it around, not only will we come on this podcast and say we were wrong, but we will do it so happily.
That's the thing, is I want to be wrong.
I would love for Nick Ritchie to score 25 goals between now and the end of the season so badly. You have no idea. That would be my favorite thing.
But it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I'd be shocked if he gets 10.
For real.
It's been that bad. It's
been that bad.
It really has. All right. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the NHL. Connor McDavid, the Jack Eichel trade. I don't think we've got to talk about yet.
Oh, yeah.
What was the thing you texted me? I can't remember. Nazem Kadri. Holy shit, Nazem Kadri. We'll get to all of that. And we're back. And I think the first thing we got to talk about is the Jack Eichel trade, because we talked about it so much on every single podcast we did, and then it happened like I don't even 2-3 weeks ago, and then we haven't got to talk about it on the podcast yet. So we have to talk about it. He finally got traded.
He's finally.
And he has.
I mean, who saw that coming?
And he has a brand new neck.
That's true. He did get the surgery, right?
Yeah. He said he went for a walk the same day.
I love how that's like, we're like, oh, good. He can walk.
It's a good start. Now,
That was going to be an issue, possibly.
Also, jump into all this, he posted a picture immediately after with the caption "Vegas baby Vegas" on Twitter with him photoshopped into a Vegas Golden Knights jersey, and just people who get traded in professional sports, please stop doing this. Just wait. We'll see you in the new jersey. You don't need to post a weird fan-made Photoshop.
Yeah, like a deep fake.
Yeah, it's not what the people want.
No, it's
the real thing.
Yeah, and it's really just trying to say look at where I got traded to. It's we know, we all know. We know.
We will see you in that jersey. You're going to be there for a while.
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm not superstitious at all, but hey, you're about to go in for surgery. maybe make sure you're able to walk after before you post that.
Now, in that trade, the Buffalo Sabres got forward Alex Tuck, who you were a big fan of.
Well, I love the name, and I'm just, he's a big, big boy.
Peyton Krebs, who is a pretty good young player. I liked him on the World Junior team. He's been playing in the NHL this year. He hasn't been great, but he's also super young and he'll probably be pretty good.
Yeah, you got to give him some time.
Two conditional picks to Buffalo and one conditional pick back to Las Vegas. If the Golden Knights first round pick is not in the top 10, the Sabres get that pick and a Vegas second, and the Knights get a Buffalo third. If the Golden Knights pick is in the top 10, they get the first round pick the next year. And the Knights get the pick a year after that. It's basically,
it's all dependent on how they do these seasons.
Yeah. It's just top 10 protected. It's as long as Vegas doesn't finish in the bottom 10, which they're currently not, even though almost their entire team was injured for almost the whole start of the season.
Right.
So I think we can probably safely assume that they will probably make the playoffs, or at the very least not finish in the bottom 10 of the NHL. That would be pretty surprising.
Yeah.
So Vegas now finally has the number one center that they've wanted for years. Well, yeah, not currently, but they will very soon.
In a few months.
He's supposed to be back after the Olympics.
All right. So after the Olympics, they have their first line center.
Yeah. They're going to have to dump some salary. I think most likely it's going to be one of the expiring UFAs who makes money, which is probably going to be Riley Smith or Evgeny Dodonov.
Well, they picked up Dodonov this summer, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
And it was weird by Ottawa because they just signed him.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen there. If there's an option they have to get rid of one of these guys though. If they probably prefer to get rid of Evgeny Dodonov, but it'll probably be easier to get rid of Riley Smith because people probably want Riley Smith more, right?
Yeah,
I would assume. Right. If they have to,
we know which one Ottawa wants more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we are the Toronto, speaking of Toronto Maple Leafs fans, Riley Smith might look kind of nice on that left wing spot that we keep talking about.
Ooh.
And if we can maybe work out a deal where they do something like they trade Riley Smith to, let's say, Ottawa. Ottawa retains half his salary and then trades him to the Leafs. And the Leafs trade a draft pick to Ottawa. I mean, that could be pretty nice.
What is Riley Smith making right now?
$5 million.
For one more year.
Yeah. So he'd be a rental. But he's a good left winger. And if we can get someone to retain half his salary, then,
Right. But if you're Vegas, you're looking to get rid of Dodonov because he's got two more years.
Yeah, exactly. Which, if you're the Leafs, you don't want the second year of Dodonov. So you can't do it.
No.
Maybe some other team would. I don't know.
No. But I mean, hey, Riley Smith, good pull. Good thought there, Ramsden.
Yeah. Now I'm currently looking at the Vegas Golden Knights lineup, and they are still super injured. I mean, when they played the Leafs, they had guys on this team who I didn't know who they were, which is honestly pretty incredible. And right now it's pretty bad. And also they now have Adam Brooks.
Oh, yes. Yes. They picked him up.
They will be getting back at some point, though. All of Jonathan Marchessault, William Carrier, William Karlsson, Alec Martinez, Nolan Patrick, Jack Eichel, Max Pacioretty. And I guess that's it for now. But all of those guys are injured. So, oof. Going to be tough to handle the salary. But if they can work it out in a good way, I mean, this is a team that could potentially win the Stanley Cup if Jack Eichel looks like Jack Eichel.
Yeah, that is dependent on him a little bit. But, I mean, if the surgery went well, why not?
Now, what do you think of Buffalo's side of this deal?
I mean, look, Tuck is a player that's going to probably come in and make an impact right away. I mean, we can actually check on that right now.
Well, he's injured.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, but I mean, assuming
was that when the trade happened, or did he get injured?
He's been Buffalo? Injured, yeah, the whole time.
Ah, damn it!
But assuming that, you know. Assuming he comes back healthy, I think he will.
Yeah, he's a good player. Yeah. And I mean the draft picks. I think we said you could have probably gotten more from someone else.
I'm surprised they took this deal.
But I mean, maybe it's one of those things where Vegas was the only one that was willing to let him have the surgery.
I think Calgary was very close to signing him too.
Yeah.
Trading for him too. I'm not sure what the difference in that package is. I know that it was rumored to be pretty similar, but with Sean Monahan.
Oh, Alex yes. Tuck.
I'm not sure how much of a difference that makes, really.
No, that is tough.
It's kind of the same.
It's a similar trade. I mean, maybe you get a different prospect out of it too, but like who?
Yeah. There was a rumor that Matthew Tkachuk was in there, but pretty much
everybody said that was not true.
Yeah. Which I kind of believe that it's not true, because if you're going to get Jack Eichel, you do it to trade him with his fellow clown haired brother, Matthew Tkachuk, not to, you know, use them apart.
No. You would want those two to play together.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. So I assume that's not true. But, you know, I'm shocked that this is what it came to. And I feel like we can say maybe that's the best Buffalo could get at that time. I think we also have to say, though, that it's not the most Buffalo could have got. Because I would be shocked if, like, back in last June or something, if they had traded Jack Eichel, they definitely could have got more from him than this.
Yeah.
You have to think, right? Like, it made no sense to hold him out and not let him get the surgery and not let him, like, be prepared for the new team that would want him. Like, I feel like they handled it really sloppy and kind of hurt themselves.
No, that's true. I mean, you're basically giving them a damaged good.
Yeah.
Which will affect the value of the trade.
Yeah. It has to, right?
It has to.
There's just no way around that. All right. So let's look at the rest of the NHL. What is there any team in particular you want to talk about here?
Well, I want to talk about Colorado a little bit, but only because of Nazem Kadri.
Only because of Nazem Kadri.
Because I'm jealous that he's gone.
Colorado are currently 10th in the NHL, which is probably lower than most people expected. Although they started the season really bad and they've kind of picked it up. They went a little bit leafy.
A little leafy on us.
They currently have, I'm going to list the injured players. We have Nathan MacKinnon out. Valerie Nichushkin out, Pavel Francouz out, JT Compher out, and Bohm Byram out, who is their brand new stud defenseman, who they seem to just grow on trees down there in Colorado.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's not fair.
Yes. The man leading this team in scoring is Nazem Kadri, who has 23 points in 15 games. And I will find the stat that you sent me earlier and read it, because it is...
There's 19 points in 9 games.
That's what it is. That's absolutely unbelievable.
It's pretty insane.
I don't even know what to make of that. I'm going to go through his game log here, because it's probably just unbelievable. Okay, here we go. So the last 9 games. Yep, here we go. We have a goal against St. Louis, a goal against Minnesota, 3 assists against the Blue Jackets, an assist against the Blue Jackets, an assist against Vancouver. That's already pretty good. It's a 5-game point streak with 7 points in those 5 games, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then he really picks it up. A goal, 2 assists against San Jose, a goal, 2 assists against Vancouver, 2 assists against the Kraken, and a 4-point night against the team he loves to kill, the Ottawa Senators. I mean, how long do you think he can keep this up? And, like, how high do you think he can climb here?
I don't think he can keep it up for much longer. I think this is a heater, as it's been put on all of the on all the websites and all the sports Instagram pages. But it is fun to see.
Yeah. I mean, we like Naz, even though he ruined 2 playoff series for us.
No. Yeah, he totally screwed us. But, I mean, it's fun to watch.
I mean, I'm happy for the guy.
Dude, he's 4th in league scoring.
That's crazy.
He's got 1 point more than Kyle Connor.
And Troy Terry.
And Troy Terry. And Kuznetsov. And Goudreau. He only has 6 goals, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of assists, but hey, what are you going to do? You get them, they don't ask how, they ask how many.
That's the quote from somebody.
Now, I'm assuming a big part of this is because he's been playing, because Nathan MacKinnon's been out, right?
Right, he's been playing top minutes.
Yeah, and those top minutes are with Gabriel Landeskog and Mikko Rantanen.
No, I've seen a lot of the... I did watch a few of the points in the last few games, and, like, Landeskog is setting them up basically all the time.
And possibly even more importantly, he's playing a lot with Cale Makar, who might be the best defenseman in the NHL.
Right.
Like, I can't speak highly enough of how this guy skates. I think he might be the best skater in the NHL. Not the fastest skater in the NHL, because I think we all know who that is. But I think he might be the best skater in the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, he skates sideways about as fast as he skates forwards, which is absolutely incredible.
It's tough to do.
Yeah, he's special. He really is. This team could go places. They brought up my guy, Alex Newhook. I remember we did a podcast before, and I talked about how much I like this kid.
Yeah.
The Newf. He's been up there. He scored a big last-minute goal the other night to win them a game. He's a good player, that kid.
Although, how has Kemper been? I've heard he's been kind of shit.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to go – let me just scroll down here to the goalie stats, wherever that is. Here we go. Their backup so far is Jonas Johansson, because Frank Kuz is injured. A 906 for Kemper, an 893 for Johansson. That's not good. It's not good.
Great.
906 isn't so bad, though, that you assume.
No, it's not. It's not sinking, though.
Yeah, like I, he could probably rebound from that too.
Yeah,
I wouldn't assume he's just done and like bad now, but that isn't good, especially behind that defense.
Right. Exactly.
You have to assume he's not getting like the most difficult shots.
No.
Because this team does have a ridiculous defense, and also Jack Johnson. Somehow, for some reason.
Sticking around somehow.
I'm not really sure how that happened, but he's also on this team.
He's pulling it off.
They are fun to talk about. The first team I want to talk about is the Edmonton Oilers.
All right. What do you got?
We all know who's running the show here. It's Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. They're one of the league scorers.
I thought you were going to make a joke there and go, it's Leon Draisaitl and not mention Connor McDavid. I was going to come over to Milton and kick your ass.
They're 1-2 in league scoring. Draisaitl's leading the league in goals. McDavid's leading it in assists. Do you know who's second in the NHL in assists?
No, who?
It's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, if you're just on the team, what do you want to know who's tied with him for assists?
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. Please say the name, because we're talking about that team, too.
Because that's pretty wild. Getzlaf?
That's right. And we're going to talk about the Fighting Ducks.
That's weird.
Because I like them. I like the Ducks.
That's weird to see.
It is weird to see.
He's got one goal. So does Nugent-Hopkins.
Good for him. Good for him. Zach Hyman, I mean, also been a pretty good fit on this team. I'm looking at Hockey Reference now. Not sure how they have Zach Hyman as a center. That's very weird. But he has been quite good.
No, he's been very good. And, like, but here, it's one of those things where if you're on a line with McDavid.
Yeah. Now,
you better be racking up some points.
Here's the thing with this team, and they are doing fantastic. I believe they're third in the entire NHL. They're leading their division. Like, they've been unbelievable. They're scoring, like, just a ridiculous amount of goals, which, you know, that's what this team does when they're at their best, is put the puck in the net.
Yep.
I believe they're second in the NHL in goals to the Florida Panthers.
Wow.
I mean, they've been fantastic. I think what worries me about this Edmonton Oilers team is the goaltending, because it's been very good. And it might seem weird to say that I'm worried about it when it's been very good, but I think we all know that this isn't a sustainable thing. Mikko Koskinen has a 9-10. Mike Smith has a 9-20 and just got injured for what appears to be a long time. And Stuart Skinner, their third goalie, has a 9.39.
Right, right.
I have to assume two of those numbers are going to go down, and the one that won't is Mike Smith's, and that's because he won't be playing. So, I mean, that's a little worrying, I would say. And Darnell Nurse is also injured.
Right, and that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. But, I mean, I guess this is proof of what we've always said, which is it should be impossible for your team to be bad if you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
And it's, yeah.
That's it, I mean, right?
It's the proof is in the pudding.
Their defense is Darnell Nurse, Evan Bouchard, who's looked good, and then it gets very, very, very ugly. Very
Duncan fast. Keith.
Duncan Keith, Tyson Berry, Cody Ceci. Slater Kukuk.
Who?
Chris Russell. Philip Broberg.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
it's not good.
Like, that's terrible.
It's actually very not good. It's probably about as bad as it gets this side of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if they can keep getting the goaltending, it won't matter. I really question whether or not that's possible. But, I mean, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl might both get 150 points this year.
And dude, it's totally possible. Attention.
What was that?
It's totally possible.
It's totally possible. I mean, for both of them, honestly.
No, I mean for both, exactly.
Especially if they keep playing, like, on the power play together and, you know.
And McDavid just keeps torching teams.
I can't believe that after he scored what will be the best goal of this season, unless he does it again, it's the New York Rangers. And then he did, like, he scored a goal almost as good against the Winnipeg Jets, like, what, 2 days later?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. I mean, we're lucky that we get to watch him.
That's a great way to put it. We are lucky. We're very lucky.
It is unbelievable. Who's the other team I wanted to get to? The Anaheim Ducks. Let's do Anaheim.
What do you got?
Okay. Because weirdly, the Anaheim Ducks are pretty good. I'm not really sure what happened. They're third in the Pacific Division. We get to play them pretty soon. And I guess because the Ducks have been bad and they're in the Pacific Division and then COVID happened, we haven't got to see really anything about them, right? We haven't got to watch the Ducks play, period, very often. We haven't got to watch the Ducks play the Leafs at all. And we don't really get a ton of their news unless their GM gets fired and then goes to rehab.
Did he go to rehab?
I think so, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't know. But Bob Murray was let go or resigned or whatever for poor conduct, whatever that means.
I have some idea.
I have a few ideas, but I don't really want to, you know, probably shouldn't speculate on it.
Why? That's our thing.
And this is, oh.
Why?
Losing it here. Sorry. A little bit of computer trouble. Let me just bring that back up here. As I want to get through the Anaheim Ducks roster. There we go. This team is young, and this team is good. And all of these top picks that they've had over these years where they've sucked and we haven't been paying any attention to them seem like they're turning into pretty good players. And also there's some old guys who are having seasons like they used to in their primes that I think deserve some credit. I mean, you mentioned Ryan Getzlaff earlier, who's basically playing like an incredible number two center on this team at age 36. And I mean, like, he's a Hall of Famer. We all know that, but still incredible, right? And the only reason I said number two center is because he's doing it behind Troy Terry, who is one of the top point scorers in the entire NHL.
Yeah, no. And I mean, you nailed it right there. Like, they've quietly been just collecting these guys like Drysdale and Zegras. Like,
yeah. I mean, Trevor Zegras is one of the filthiest players I think I've ever seen. Like, he's just nasty. A highlight reel. He's an absolute highlight reel. I'll shout out to Adam Henrique, who has 15 points this season. And an even bigger shout out to 33-year-old Kevin Shattenkirk, who has 14 points already this season.
Does he really?
Turning back the clock, Kevin Shattenkirk. Looking like old Blues Kevin Shattenkirk.
Dude.
I know. It really is crazy. And, like, I mean, this is a young team. They had the third overall pick. They picked Mason McTavish, and they just sent him back to the Peterborough Petes.
Right. He was playing pretty well, too.
Yeah, and they didn't even keep him up because, I mean, they literally didn't have room for him because he's a center. And they have Terry, Getzlaff, and Henrique down the middle.
Yeah, and Comtois is hurt.
Yeah, like, and they didn't Max have
Jones is hurt.
They didn't have room for him.
No, you're right.
Like, that's why he got sent down, not because he was bad. This team could be really good in a couple of years.
No, this team's going to be dangerous.
They're an exciting one, and the other team that I find really exciting, even though they're not doing as well, but they look really promising, is the Steve Yzerman Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, I mean, it's because last season they were, what, like dead last, second last?
They were really bad, yeah.
Like, it was pretty bad, but it's clearly turned around.
Yeah, I think another part of it, too, that's so fascinating about this team is they still have a lot of older guys. And those older guys are still really bad. So it's not like Anaheim where the older guys kind of turned it around. Those guys are still there and they still suck. But the young guys are so good that they're kind of making this into something.
Yes, yes.
They're getting decent goaltending for the first time in I don't even know how long from Alex Nedeljkovic. And then, I mean, Lucas Raymond, he's 19 years old. He has 19 points in 20 games. He's a stud. He's an absolute killer. Tyler Bertuzzi, the only unvaccinated player in the NHL, is having a pretty good season.
Is he the only one?
He is the only one left.
Really? I thought there were some more holdouts.
No, it's just one, and that's him. Dylan Larkin having a good season. And then we get to the big one. Moritz Seider. This kid is
absolutely... Oh, the defenseman, yeah.
He is fantastic. He's literally everything you could possibly want in a modern-day defenseman. He has 13 points in 20 games. He's 6'4". He can skate like the wind. I mean, like, what it's everything you could possibly want in, like, a guy who you're going to make your stud defenseman that you build your team around for the next however many years.
Right. He's definitely the future.
You put him together with a top scoring left winger. And then, I mean, really, you would say all this team's lacking is for the future is that top tier number one center. And by the way, I mean, Dylan Larkin can probably do that for now.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's doing a pretty good job of it.
Exactly. So if they come out this year, get another top pick, get a great center, and then all of a sudden you got him and Larkin down the middle as that 1-2 punch. You've got Bertuzzi and Raymond on the wings. You've got Moritz Seider at the back. And Filip Zadina is still hanging around here somewhere. I remember he was a pretty high pick.
Yeah, and the pickup that we really liked, who's injured right now, is Vrana.
That's right. Jakob Vrana isn't even... Oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot about him. Thank you.
Like, he's... I mean, like...
He hasn't even played, has he?
No, I think he's still hurt.
Yeah. And he's out for a long time, too. So, I mean, they got him coming around.
No, this team is going to do something, man.
I don't think they're going to be good this year, but they're good.
They're trying. They're trying to be good, but I don't think they will be.
They're not going to succeed. And also, I feel bad for them because they play in the Atlantic, which, I mean, you know.
It's a tough.
There's four really good teams in this division, and they're all better than Detroit by a lot.
That's the problem.
But I don't know how long. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, okay. Yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like how much longer they will be. No.
Well, especially for Boston, you got to wonder how long, like...
Well, they're dropping off, man.
How long they're going to be able to hang on. And with these guys coming up, they might be here to take that fourth playoff spot sooner rather than later.
No, the Boston's days are numbered.
Boston's days are numbered. Although, you know, right now they're still pretty good.
Right now, Detroit has one more point.
I know, but Boston has like 5 games in
hand. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they just have to win one of their next 5 games. They're back
ahead of them. Yeah, you're right.
But let's move on. I saved the best for last. Let's talk about the biggest story in the NHL right now, which is the Vancouver Canucks. The fans are sick of Jim Benning. We have got tons of enjoyment out of Jim Benning's, you know, run over the years. But it is shocking because a big part of Jim Benning's run that we've found to be so stupid and such an issue is that he's kind of given away their future for the present over and over and over again, right? And yes. When you look at their roster, I mean, this should be a team you build for the future. You should say, we have Pettersson, we have Besser, we have Quinn Hughes, we have Thatcher Demko. Let's be great, you know, for the next 6-7 years. And instead, he keeps trying to just make the playoffs early, and the team sucks. It's backfired even more than I think anyone could possibly have imagined, though, because I don't think anybody predicted that this team was going to be 28th in the NHL.
No, I think we gave them a little bit more credit than they might have deserved.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is a steep drop.
Yeah. And, I mean, the only players who are injured, like, it's not like it's an injury thing. The only players who are injured are Brandon Sutter, Luke Shen, and Michael Ferland, who I actually forgot was on this team and who is kind of a sad thing because I'm pretty sure Michael Ferland's probably never going to play again with his concussion issues. Mm. I think he's probably done, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, that's a shame, but I mean, they knew that. So it's not like help's coming.
Well, no. And I mean, it's not like cap relief is coming either.
Yeah. Their goaltending. I mean, Demko has had a 905. Halak has had a 903. Neither of those things are good. But I mean, given the defense that they're playing behind, I would kind of say maybe that's not that bad.
No, could be worse.
I'm not saying it's good at all, but I would just say that, like, out of the guys who we're going to blame, they're probably not as responsible as these guys going forward.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I also have to say Oliver Ekman-Larsson has been better than expected, which means he's been an okay defenseman. He's not nearly bounced back to the level that I think Vancouver hoped he would. He's also not been nearly as bad as he was in Phoenix. He's just been okay.
Which is he's not this. What does he make? 6.5.
Yeah.
He's not the 6.5. It's eight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Oliver Ekman-Larsson makes. Oh no. It's right in the middle. It's 7.26.
Wow, that's funny.
It is eight, but Arizona retained.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck getting out of that one.
Their current defense is Quinn Hughes, good young player, very nice player, good offensive defenseman, puts up points, not very good defensively, but you know, I mean, we know who Quinn Hughes is and he's a good player. Then it just immediately drops off to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Tyler Myers, Tucker Poolman, Luke Shen, Brad Hunt, and Kyle Burrows.
God, that is
horrible.
Kyle Burrows.
Yeah.
Who the hell's that?
Does it matter?
Is that Alex Burrows' kid?
No, it's spelled a different way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a former seventh round pick of the New York Islanders.
Oh, thank God.
Because when you have the chance to play this guy in your lineup, you better take it. And I mean, their forward lineup too. A lot of the headlines are going to how bad Elias Pettersson's been, which I mean, he has been bad. I will say it is bad. I will say he missed like 4 months last year with a wrist problem, and then there was the summer, so he hadn't played hockey in like 8 months. So maybe like give him a couple weeks.
Yeah, give him a chance, but I mean, still we had higher hopes.
We did have higher hopes. He's a guy who you and I have talked about as a guy who we both thought could win a MVP award at some point.
Yeah, we've talked about him as one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, so, you know, well, you want to see more from him, even though you can kind of understand the slow start. But I think the big problem with this team mostly is that, like, some of the stuff is working out and it still doesn't matter. Like, JT Miller is a point a game right now.
Really? Connor
Garland, who they brought in, is 14 points in 19 games. He's been fantastic.
And that was still a good ad. That was a good ad.
And they're still terrible. I mean, yeah. they're chanting "Fire Benning" in the arena. He gave a press conference that was just, I mean, it was so bad.
It was embarrassing.
It really was embarrassing. He was, do you know, it's a clip from some TV show, but do you know the meme of the guy in the hot dog suit where he's like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this?
No.
I'll give you the background on it. It's a very funny clip from a TV show, but basically this hot dog shaped car drives through the wall of this store. And then everyone's looking around for the driver and there's a guy in a hot dog suit and he's like, yeah, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. That's Jim Benning.
Yeah.
When no, he talks about his team and he's like, I don't know why they're so bad.
He's like, who saw this coming? Yeah. Not me.
Well, we know that, Jim.
Yeah, man, it's embarrassing. No, it's... I mean, fire him, change the coach. I think it's just the on-ice product.
You got to do it all, right? Because, like, people are going to stop going to the games.
Man, people aren't going to the games right now.
Not. Yeah, it's...
Except for the Marlies game on December 4th.
Where we will be.
Well, I mean, we will...
Yeah, attendance is down league-wide. But, yeah. I mean, people are really going to stop going to Vancouver Canucks games. Because if you were a Vancouver Canucks fan, I mean, like, what is there to watch? your team sucks. They're locked into a bunch of bad contracts. They're probably not getting better.
Just kind of watch the floods.
Yeah. Your house may be underwater. And this team's at a position with their cap structure where they're more likely to be trading away guys like JT Miller and Bo Horvat than they are to be getting better.
Yeah, they're also sinking.
And unlike Quinn Hughes, who locked himself in, Elias Pettersson only signed a 3-year contract. After this year, which I think we can all just assume is wasted, there's only going to be 2 left. And it seems unlikely he's going to be sticking around after that unless things change pretty quickly.
Well, that's a good point. That's something they should worry about is you did get him on a nice deal, but it's 3 years. And after those 3 years are up, if you haven't shown them that you're competing for a cup, then you could just go, fuck you.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know, he has had the slow start, but I still think that he is the guy that you and I think he is.
I still think so too.
He is that guy who could be one of the best players in the NHL. He could win an MVP award. And that's a guy who needs to be, you know, it's a guy who really needs to be competing for championships.
He could be on a really good team and he could do so much on a good team.
I mean, he went point per game in the playoffs on their big playoff run.
Yeah.
That's who this guy is. And, you know, he's the kind of guy, he's a franchise center. That's the hardest piece to get in hockey is the franchise center that you can build your team around. And this team managed to get one. And I mean.
And blow it.
Yeah. Seriously.
Somewhat.
I mean, they had one nice run. But I think the problem was that one nice run convinced them that it's a good idea to double down on this hockey team.
Yeah, and that's kind of, it's misleading.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sucks, but I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. There's another team in that boat too. And I don't know if you want to talk about them or if you think we have time to talk about them, but we could just mention it briefly. The Montreal Canadiens are like really bad.
Are they sinking? They're sinking, eh?
Yeah. They are technically second last in the Atlantic Division, but they probably will be last by the time Ottawa gets out of COVID protocol and plays their extra games.
Yeah.
This team's going to be last in the Atlantic. There's almost no way they're going to make the playoffs. They've already sent Cole Caulfield down to the minors once this year.
Yeah, they brought him back up, though.
They did, but that just shows you how this is going. Carey Price is still not with the team. Well, I guess he is with the team, but he's not playing. Shea Weber is never going to play again. I mean, it's ugly in Montreal right now.
No, it's not good.
And this team is pretty rapidly gone from a team that somehow managed to make the Stanley Cup Finals to a team who might be hoping that they can draft Shane Wright first overall this year.
Honestly, but that's like, I mean, if you're Montreal, you know what you're missing.
Yeah.
You're missing a few things, but you're definitely missing a first-line center.
A first-line center, yeah. It's no disrespect to Nick Suzuki, who I actually like as a player, in spite of him playing for Montreal, but he's not a first-line center.
Not yet. Give him a chance.
Yeah. On like a cup team, though, he's probably a second-line center.
No, I agree. Christian
Dvorak, who they brought over from Phoenix or Arizona or whatever, it's not really working out either.
No, I noticed that too.
Yeah. So I don't know. These guys are going to have a rough year. And if they can pick up a really nice draft pick, maybe they can bounce back. I'm not sure I would let Mark Bergevin be the guy making that pick if it was me. But
well, we'll see.
See what happens.
Doesn't seem like change is coming.
It does not seem like change is coming. All right. I think that's about it. I think we've covered pretty much everything here.
I mean, we've finally gotten through one, so I say
Thank God.
We quit while we're ahead.
All right, buddy. Well, do you want to sing us out here?
Of course. It's up to the Myers podcast. Smart guy.